For the last 5 months, I've been coming back to St. Lucie's for a seminar, the fourth Sunday of every month. And I just gave the seminar this afternoon on the topic of Christian meditation and the 12 steps to spiritual health. It's a theme that I've been very fond of over the last years, the connection between traditional Christian prayer and meditation and the 12-step programs of recovery that were originally started by Alcoholics Anonymous, but now have branched out to over 110 different programs dealing with every sort of unhealthy habit and attachment and addiction. And closely connected to our whole process of recovery from unhealthy habits, unhealthy ways of thinking and feeling and acting, is the practice of silent meditation. Now, taking time out every day for silent prayer and meditation may seem like a luxury. We may agree that meditating is a good idea, but few of us consider it to be essential. What is essential is work, doing things, accomplishing tasks, goals, projects. We may even justify our focus on work and action by recourses in the scriptures, such as today's gospel from chapter 15 of John. Jesus says to his disciples at the Last Supper, "My Father takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit." And then 7 verses later, he says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." What seems to be important for Jesus in these passages is action. Doing something for God, not hanging out at a retreat center or practicing silent meditation. Perhaps we fear silence. Maybe we've heard strange stories about silence in monasteries. There was a monastery where silence was maintained almost perpetually, and a woman joined, a certain Sister Michelle. She arrived at the monastery, and the head nun called the abbess told her, "Sister Michelle, this is a silent monastery. You may speak only when I direct you to do so." Sister Michelle lived in the monastery for 5 years before the abbess said to her, "Sister, you've been here for 5 years. You can speak 2 words. Sister Michelle said, "Hard bed." "I'm sorry to hear that," the abbess replied. "We'll get you a better bed." Another 5 years passed by. Sister Michelle is called into the office of the abbess, who says, "You may say another 2 words." Sister Michelle responded, "Cold food." And the abbess assured her that the food would be better in the future. 5 more years pass. The abbess again calls Sister Michelle into her office and says, "You may say 2 words today." Sister Michelle responded, "I quit." "It's probably best," said the abbess. "You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here." Well, this apocryphal story gives silence a bad rep. Whereas the silence of interior prayer and meditation is liberating, it settles the mind, releases tension from the body, and helps us abide in the Lord's presence, dwell in the Lord's presence. That's why for years here at St. Lucie's, we've really been encouraging people to practice daily meditation. We've been giving out those little books, the white books, the black books, the red books, the blue books, whatever color. Are you still getting the books? Well, tell Father Mark to not be cheap. Go buy some more of those books. Those little books, you know, have a little scripture for every day, a little reflection on the scripture. And my constant message when I was pastor here was, remember, 6 minutes a day. 6 minutes a day, that's enough to get started on developing a habit of daily meditation. And this habit is something that is so satisfying and makes such a difference in our attitude, our mental outlook, and even on our health, that people get hooked in the best possible way, and they want to increase it from 6 to 10 to 15, 20 minutes and even more. But still, people often have hesitation about taking time out of the day for quiet prayer because we have this focus on action, and we even justify it by the example of certain saints like St. Paul, who in the Acts of the Apostles seems to be constantly on the move, constantly preaching, teaching, and working. However, When we look at the chronology of St. Paul's life, we discover a surprising detail. How many of you saw the movie that was out just the last few weeks on St. Paul? You guys have missed out, those of you who didn't see it. I haven't seen it either, but I've heard I really missed out. I heard it was a very, very well done movie about his life. And you're all familiar with his very famous conversion. You know, he was a fanatical Jew who hated Christians, was determined to stamp out this new upstart movement. And he received letters of authorization to go to Damascus and arrest all the Christians and throw them into prison. And he's on his way to Damascus in Syria, north from Israel. And he gets blinded by this light from heaven, falls on the ground. And he hears this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul responds, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So this was the beginning of Paul's great conversion to Jesus and to Christianity. And of course, he became the greatest preacher of the early church. Now, that was the year 35 AD. He didn't start his preaching, his travels around the Roman Empire, evangelizing for 13 years. 13 years after his conversion. Around the year 48 or 49, he began traveling in as much of the Roman Empire as possible, preaching that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is risen from the dead. Turn your lives over to him, follow him. You will find life, life eternal. But 13 years, he was silent. He went out to the desert of Arabia for a while, perhaps kind of like those desert fathers, and a lot of prayer and meditation, reflection on the scriptures. And then after 13 years, he starts an amazing 20-year program of evangelization of the Roman Empire until he was martyred in Rome about the year 68. Here's the greatest missionary of the apostolic age. He did nothing for 13 years. 13 years lost for missionary work. Time is money, we say. However, it seems in the lives of some of the greatest Christians, there is time they take, sometimes a long period of time, for interior life, inner development, purification of the mind, of the habits, in order to be prepared for doing something beautiful for God and beautiful for humanity. Jesus himself, how many years did he live in solitude and in quiet? How many years? Can't hear you. 30 years. 30 years. Why didn't he start 15 years earlier and go out and try to change the world? We know that he was a carpenter during that time, and we also can pretty well imagine that he spent a lot of time meditating on the Hebrew scriptures, a lot of time in silent contemplation of his father. So this time of Nazareth, Jesus was in Nazareth for 30 years of solitude. And this time that Paul spent in the desert and in silent preparation for his great work, this is very much in the minds of so many of the great Christians in our history. Because in the mind of Jesus, it's not possible to bear the best fruit. It's not possible to really make a great difference in this world for God and for the best possibilities for humanity without an experience of intimacy. Intimacy with God that Jesus describes in today's gospel as remaining in him. Remain in me, he says. Live in me. Abide in me as I live in you. He says, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. We know that central to the Christian life is love of neighbor and devoted service toward those who suffer. Jesus responded to the poor of Israel by offering a plan for a new society here on earth that he called the kingdom of God, a new way of relating to God and to other human beings. The kingdom was about a state of affairs on earth where the poor would no longer be poor, the hungry would be satisfied, and the oppressed would no longer be miserable. This is the activity to which we Christians commit ourselves by aligning ourselves with Jesus Christ. Who are the people in the history of Christianity who have made the biggest difference, who have worked most passionately for the gospel, for this kingdom? Very often, and practically in all cases, it is people who have a deep spiritual life, a deep spiritual connection with Jesus Christ. People like the great Saint Francis of Assisi, who changed the history of Europe because of his relationship with God and the way he invited so many others into that same kind of closeness. People like Dorothy Day, who started perhaps the most transformative Catholic movement in the country back in the 1930s called the Catholic Worker Movement. People like Mother Teresa, and we know her story, what an extraordinary story. Through her own conversion, her own intimacy with Christ, started the Missionaries of Charity that are in 150 countries today, serving the poorest of the poor throughout the world. And those women, those Missionaries of Charity, how do they start their day before they go out and attend the sick and the dying on the streets of some of the poorest areas? They start their day in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, an hour of silent meditation and daily Mass. Becoming people who build the kingdom of God requires retreating for a period of time every day and immersing ourselves in the divine presence. And this is most especially promoted by taking the practice of meditation seriously. And meditation is very simple. We teach a couple of methods here at St. Lucy's and throughout the Catholic world. The most common is what we call Lectio Divina, divine reading. That's why we pass out those little books. But you don't need those little books to meditate. Just take your Bible, the book, and open up to the beginning of the New Testament, and then gradually over the next year or so, work your way through the New Testament, reading very slowly. Start off with 6 minutes. Just starting off with 6 minutes is enough to begin to get the taste, the flavor. And you begin to experience that because of those 6 minutes of starting your day before breakfast, before you go out to work, before you go out to school, you center yourself in the presence of Christ, who lives in the center of your soul. He lives in you. And meditation is a way of attuning yourself to his presence within you. And then because you find it so satisfying and it helps clear the mind, gives you more mental acuity and more even physical and emotional resources and energy, you want to do it more, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I saw that here when I was at St. Lucy. So many people who started with those 6 minutes a day, they are now doing 15, 20, 30 minutes because it makes such a difference in the quality of their interaction with their family, with their colleagues at work, with their fellow students at school. It has such an impact on our emotional state. We so often get into a bad mood, or we get impatient, we get irritable, because our minds and our hearts are not tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Meditation is a way of attuning us to the presence of Christ within us and the presence of Christ within everybody else. So this is the invitation that Jesus makes when he says, "Whoever remains in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing."